Yes, my friends, open lines right here on Coast to Coast AM. Plus, I want you to check in with me if you think, because look at what has been going on all around this planet. I keep watching this situation between Israel and the Palestinians, and my gosh, it's unbelievable. It just doesn't stop. Do you think we're in end times? Check in with me on that, plus your open line calls on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast. You know, that story we've been following for the last week or so started last Tuesday during our chat when one of our Coast insiders said, "George, I just heard a story about megastructures out there in the universe. Follow up on it." And we did. One of the scientists involved in the story, and I'll fill you in on just what the story is, of course, in a second here, Jason Wright from Penn State University, I think he's kind of backtracking. Or he was grossly misinterpreted. The story had to do with a 1,480 light year star system that's out there. 1,480 light years out there. That means it takes 1,480 years for that light from that star to get here. It's a long, long way. But with Kepler, they were able to determine that there's a strange anomaly out there. There's something weird. They're not sure what it is. Could be particles from comets. Could be just about anything. But the conclusion was, if it's none of those, then it's got to be extraterrestrial. And so Jason Wright, the scientist astronomer, said it's probably the last ditch reason for this anomaly. But that didn't get picked up that way. So instead, some of the other media outlets and hosts started running around going, "Oh my God, there are aliens out there and everything's happening and they're using this to harness energy from the sun." And it's a great story. It's romantic, it's exciting, it's everything. But you know what? I don't think that's the story. I think there's a scientific reason for that situation. I believe in ETs, believe me, but not in this case. And the fact that the scientists are really downplaying this thing, I mean, really, we even called Jason Wright to try to get him on the show. He didn't even want to come on, he didn't even want to go there. So, another possible story, I think, has been blown out of proportion. And you want to get the truth, you just come here to Coast AM. So let's go to the phones. Let's start open lines. And don't forget, Tom's got the text phone. We'll take some of your calls that way too. And I'm going to start implementing Twitter quick questions as well. We're going to start doing that for you in another week or so. I might even be doing that during our Ghost to Ghost show. Let's go to Joe in the Bronx on Coast to Coast. Hello, Mr. Music Man. How are you?
Hey, thank you, George. I'm doing okay, thanks.
Good.
I wanted to ask you a question. What's your most vivid Halloween memory?
When I was a kid, two things, two different Halloweens. One is the guy who lived across the street from us in Dearborn Heights. His name was Mike. God rest his soul, he's not around. This must have been, we moved there in 1958, so it must have been around 1962 or so. I was just a little kid. He would give us, everybody, we as kids, we all wanted candy, right?
Right.
You did. I did.
Of
He
course.
would give us pennies.
Oh.
One penny. I don't know in 1962, Joe, what one penny was worth today. But as kids, when we emptied the sack, getting pennies is something we didn't want. And I will always remember my face and the face of the kids when we'd go up to that porch, do our thing, and he'd come out with a roll of pennies and just kind of flip one right into the old bag. I hate it. And the other one was Mrs. Chastain. We won't forget her. She was a witch when she wasn't in costume, and she was even worse when she was in costume. This lady, we would play baseball in the street. Did you ever do that when you were a kid?
Sure,
Baseball in the
stickball.
street. Yep, stickball in the street, football in the street, touch football, everything, hockey in the street. You know,
All of that.
from the cold Detroit at the time, that's what we did. But if a ball went on her grass, she'd come chasing us. And in some cases, would take the ball and run in the house. And, you know, it was like you can't walk on the grass. And it was like a sin if you didn't walk on the sidewalk. And as I got a little older, I said to myself, isn't grass supposed to be walked on? I mean, it was almost as if she made you think that the grass was going to die the minute you walked on it. But on Halloween, we went there, and she came out in such a hideous costume. She scared the heck out of us. Except the next day, we realized that's the way she dressed. It wasn't a costume at all. She was wearing the same thing, doing whatever she did. But we'll never forget her. I wasn't in a group of kids. We didn't soap windows. Mm-hmm. We didn't throw toilet paper in trees. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're pretty straight guys. You know, we just, you know, did our thing. But, I mean, I'll always remember stuff like that. And then you get to a point where I can't remember when I stopped going out for Halloween. It just ended all of a sudden. Something happened. Mm-hmm. We grew up. We weren't kids anymore.
That's true.
How about you? What was your most memorable one?
Well, you know, I don't have any one most memorable, but we used to go out to other neighborhoods, and we used to go in groups, and found that some of the candy in certain neighborhoods were better than others. And I didn't have my parents checking my candy at all the way they have to, you know, unfortunately, these days. But I do remember getting favorite candies like Hershey's, Mr. Good Bars, you know, stuff like
those
that.
Those were the great ones.
The chocolate.
Yeah. Sky Bars were great. Remember those?
Vaguely.
They had five different sections of different, like caramel or caramel, however you want to pronounce it, marshmallow. It was great. And I found a company, Joe, that makes them still.
Really?
And
vintage candy.
Bought them up and gave them out to people. That's great. I got to do a show on old-time candy. As crazy as that sounds, you will not believe how many people will call in on that.
Oh, of course. You have many fans
you
out
got
there.
It. Okay, Joseph. Hey, and by the way, did you get your music to Tom? Are you going to do that?
Yes, definitely.
Let's try to highlight you on the first Sunday in November, okay?
Great. Yeah, I'll do it.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it. Yep, he's a musician. Let's go to Sherry in Southfield, Michigan, where I used to work at WJBK Television and WXYZ back in my early Detroit days. Hi, Sherry. Good to
How
have you
are
back.
You?
Good.
I talked to you about a week ago regarding that woman who threw the gasoline all over the other woman because she hit her
yes.
car with the car.
That was crazy.
And even since then, we've had more things happen here that are weird, and I'm hoping it's not the end times, but... George, also, I loaned people money throughout my life. I have no money left. I was not really trying to be God or like you and Wayne Dyer, but I helped people thinking that they understood they had to pay me back right away. They
mm-hmm.
haven't. And I would like to do voiceover work, but I don't know if I can go through all the procedures that are required. I don't know if you could refer me to somebody where you used to work. And I have the most beautiful used Ford Escort. I've been trying to sell, no luck. And also, there's other things that I could do, but I don't know what.
Well, what kind of voice work do you want to do? Like for radio stations?
Like for commercials or whatever.
Oh, you should pound the doors of some of those great radio stations all over the place.
Well, I'm told you have to make a tape.
And oh, you have to do that. That's true.
And I don't know. I just thought, can't I walk into a place and they could help me? Like, remember Lee Allen on the horn?
Oh, Lee Allen. You know, I run his A Letter from Michael on Christmas Eve.
I know.
Every year.
I know.
It's a tradition.
And he has a studio. And if he still does, I wonder, can't I go into a place like that? And they could help me make the tape and help me market it.
Let's see. Let's see what you could say. I want to do a test with you here.
Okay.
Let's just say you're listening to Coast AM with George Norrie. Ready? Go.
You're listening to Coast with George Norrie on the radio.
Ah, voice work, huh? How much do you think you want to get paid for that?
I don't know. Usually I sound a lot better than this. But I was hit by a car in a van 18 years ago. I had been beaten up my whole life. I wanted to help people. I thought if I could do something wonderful, as long as they realized they had to pay me back immediately or I wouldn't be able to do it, then I thought I'd be doing something really great. Well, I loaned over $36,000 throughout my life.
And it never came back, did
it? Pardon me?
Never came back to you, did it?
No, and one person right now, this is not that long ago, owes me just under $23,000. I don't know where she is.
Did you do it in stages with her? Or?
Yes, it was a tiny amount, and then it grew, and I kept telling her it's been like over 8 years.
Why'd you keep doing it once you realized she wasn't paying you back?
Well, she kept saying she was going
to give me once, remember?
Pardon me?
Fool me once.
Right, but she kept saying she was going to have the money soon. She had a lot of children, and she didn't want to be evicted, so I kept telling her I have to have it right away. Well, now I have just a tiny, tiny amount left, not enough, and I get $566 a month from Social Security. I heard they're going to be lowering our amount next year. And
well,
I
you're not going to get a raise, but some pensions are being lowered. I don't think they'll lower your Social Security, but it's not going to go up.
Well, I haven't worked for 18 years. I don't have a pension. I pay $725 a month. I don't want to move out.
Well, wait a minute now. The math doesn't work. You pay $720 a month just to rent your apartment, but you only get $500 a month in Social Security? What are you living on?
$566. Well, it was before.
You're losing money already.
Right, because I had money left
over. Oh, you had a little stash put away.
But now it's all gone, and there's others who owe me large amounts. They don't have it. They're not answering the phone or call me back, and they act like, hey, don't bug me, you know?
Well, I learned a long time ago, Sherry, that if you lend money, it's not going to come back. You know, don't lend it with the idea of getting it back.
Well, I wish that I had believed everybody, but I hear you, and in the past I heard Dr. Dyer say so many times that if you want to do something and you really believe you can and you want to take a risk, do it. So I thought, okay, I'm going to do it. And I know somebody who knew him quite well, and I told her before I loaned it, call him. This was like almost 4 years ago. Ask him if he can help you out. And there were many others like Marianne Williamson, she knows very well. But she didn't want to let anybody know what happened to her, so she hasn't done anything.
Well, I tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to put you on hold. I'm going to go to Tom now. He's got a text message. But stay on hold because he wants to talk with you. Tom does a lot of voice work, and he can give you some tips. But what's our text, Tom?
I have to ask you something first. I know it's maybe a generation thing, but you knew kids that soaped windows?
Yeah. Don't they still do that now?
No.
Well, now they just break them.
You're talking about like rub soap on people's windows?
Yeah, that was what they would do to be somewhat mean, I guess. They would soap windows for Halloween. They would get soap. Better than wax, trust me. But they would get soap and they just write all over somebody's window.
Never heard of that. I know teeping and egging, but
you're kidding me.
Never soap.
Yeah. Soaping up windows.
This one's from Karen in Lake Tahoe, California. I love Halloween, and I can't wait for Ghost to Ghost. Do you think ghosts and people in the afterlife have control of when they can visit loved ones, or do they have to be summoned by mediums?
I think they can show up whenever they want. Ghost to Ghost, by the way, is going to be Friday night, even though officially Halloween is Saturday, but we're going to do Ghost to Ghost on Friday night. Dave Schrader, I've got working for us live on Saturday. We're going to have a two-day Halloween Fest.
Awesome, awesome.
That's going to be fun. And by the way, what's the website and the email address that you've got out there? Or do you have all the ghost stories you need now?
We have all the ones we need right now, but we'll reserve in case we don't. You can pitch some more.
Okay, thanks, Tom.
Okay.
All right, appreciate that. But yeah, we're going to have some fun on Ghost to Ghost. It's going to be one heck of a time. But yeah, that's what we did when we were kids. Not me. No, not me. But kids would soap windows of homes. They were being mean. That's what they did. They, of course, threw toilet paper and trees. That was horrible because then it would rain and get soggy and just hang from there and everything else. But soaping was a thing that they did quite a bit. And, you know, cars, if there were cars out there in the street, they'd soap up the windows. And, I mean, it came off easy. As long as it wasn't wax, it came off real easy. You just wash the car windows or the car. Simple as that. All right, Sherry, but Tom will take care of you, and we'll see what happens there. Carlos is in Carson, California. Hey, Carlos, always a pleasure. Go ahead.
Good evening, George. Well, you know, George, paying attention here to what's happening in California, I see across various sectors the evil implementation in a very disguised manner of a Sustainable Development Agenda 21. I look at here in Long Beach where bike lanes are going up.
Yeah.
And of course, you know what that means. That entails the reduction of travel by car.
That's right.
So as to save gas. But simultaneously, you see it in San Diego, in Santa Monica, various places. But simultaneous to that, you see the legislation that's coming across in California, where they're going to fix penalties now for exceeding travel, exceeding the mileage allowed by the government authorities. Of course, so you know, that goes hand in hand with the bike lanes, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so I mean, there's already a water restriction going on in the state. Now they want to restrict how many miles you can drive?
Yeah, there's legislation coming up with that, where they're going to impose gas restrictions, gas usage. So, of course, part of that is going to probably, it probably entails that you can only drive so many miles and they're going to start taxing you.
That's crazy.
So that they're spending.
Well, you know why? Because they're still making money. The taxes on gasoline, even though the price of gasoline has gone down, the taxes have not gone down. The taxes have stayed the same. So the state is still making the same amount of money on gasoline taxes than they ever were. But what are you going to do, Carlos? You're going to stay in the state, or you're going to get out of there?
No, I'm staying here. I'm committed to California. But look, also I see apartment buildings going up, George, all over the place.
Oh, they are. I see them too out here.
Here in Carson, you see them going up there. You know they're going to hurt us eventually. You take 10, 15, 20 years. They're going to hurt us into apartment buildings when the plan that was instituted by the Rothschilds back in 1773 to do away with private property, of course, nobody's going to own private property anymore. The government will own it all. We're going to be herded into these apartment buildings. And then, you know, you connect it, of course, to what's happening in Santa Cruz, where in Santa Cruz, California, I believe they're no longer issuing, I think, in an article that I read, they're no longer issuing for any more building of residential properties.
None anymore. Okay. I got to check in with MZ up there, who owns our station, KSCO, and find out what the heck's going on there. That's interesting. Maybe too many people in the state, huh?
Well, no, but you know that's happening in Seattle, Washington also, George. The same thing.
Wow.
You know, there's a trend. It's all part of Agenda 21. And then here, what gets me most irate, George, I own some units here in South Central LA.
Okay.
Well, you know, they've implemented rent control there, you know, many years ago by communist Jane Fonda and Tom Hayden. Who
so you can't raise the rent?
Well, you can raise it 2 or 3%, but here's the thing, George. You have to comply with all kinds of regulations. Now you have to register your units. You got to pay a fee. And not only that, inspectors from the city of L.A. are consistently coming down on your unit.
And you got to pay them, too, to get it done. It's all about money, Carlos. All about money. We're at a point that we're just not going to take it anymore, aren't we? I'm going to come back in a moment. More open lines right here on Coast to Coast AM. And don't forget, at the end of the show, a little rendition of Edgar Allan Poe's Telltale Heart. Our television program is called Beyond Belief, and you can watch it. Great promotion underway, 99 cents, but you can see all the programs, not just Beyond Belief, but everything that's put out by the network, including Cosmic Disclosure with David Wilcock and Corey Good. That's a neat program. You can get it all by going to this website, Beyond Belief, beyondbelief.com. A couple weeks, by the way, we'll be going off daylight saving time. Wow. What a fast year. Everything's changing. Then Thanksgiving, right around the corner. Christmas, here we go. New Year's, and then we're into 2016. You know what's going to be weird? 2020. When we get to that. 2020. It's not too far away. All right, back to the phones we go. Let us go to Redmond, Oregon. It's Mike's turn on Coast to Coast. That's west of the Rockies, of course. Hello, Michael.
Hey, how are you doing tonight?
Good, Mike. How are you?
Good. Hey, you were talking about Edgar Allan Poe, and he was a West Point cadet, and he came from actually a rich family.
He got expelled.
And he got expelled, and I took Army ROTC here in Oregon. And they talked very badly about Mr. Poe.
Really? Well, I mean, how much did they know about him?
Well, they talked about his drug addicts problem. And they even went as far as to berate him about being married to his cousin.
Yeah, but he did marry his cousin. Then she died tragically at only 24.
But, you know, that was kind of common to marry your cousin.
In those days, you're right. They didn't have an age restriction, which is weird today, obviously. Marrying your cousin is weird today, but you're right. I mean, that happened a lot, especially in the Middle East, in the old country.
Mm-hmm.
That happened a lot. But they always told me that it would affect your children when I was a kid. I remember that.
Mm-hmm. And the last comment I was going to make was you were asking earlier about, you know, does Edgar Allan Poe still get taught in schools? And I'm not real sure about the schools, but the Simpsons have done several Edgar Allan Poe's for their Halloween special.
They've got one coming up again next week, I think.
And but they've done some wonderful, you know, spoofs on it and stuff that they've done and stuff that I think all the Simpsons fans love.
What a great show. Just keeps going, doesn't it? It's super. Hey, Mike, thanks for the call. Let's go out to Des Moines, Iowa. David's with us. Happens to be on the wild card line. Hey, David, go ahead.
Hi, George. How you doing?
Good, good.
Real quick, I want to tell you a quick story.
Sure.
Since you brought up Halloween when you were a kid and you brought back memories when I trick-or-treated. But there's always people in a small town in Iowa, and I was in the early 70s, and we'd always go this guy and his wife, and she was dressed as a witch. And he would just sit there. She'd be, like, stirring up a pot, like a witch would have a fire underneath it. And he would sit there and read stories. Well, he read a story about the Headless Horseman. Okay, so we stopped there. It was early that night, about 7:30. And in Iowa, we would go up to about 9:30, 10 o'clock. That's how long it would go. So after listening to his story, we try to finish up, you know, finishing up in Perry. We were coming back. And it's around about 9:45, and we're going across these old railroad tracks, and it was real quiet. It seemed like everybody went in, and we were noticing that nobody was trick-or-treating no more. It's getting late. And it was a cold night, and the wind was blowing, so it kind of set the mood. And we were going over these tracks that that trains never used anymore. And while we were going over, I said, "Did you hear that?" And he's like, "What'd you hear?" And we're stopping to listen. And I swear to God, it sounded like horses, like hoofs, running from a distance. And it felt like it was coming toward us, like echoing off the track. And he's like looking at me scared. And I'm like, "You hearing this?" And it's like we're looking at each other. We're like about 11 years old, and we're looking at each other. And he said, "That sounded like horse hoofs, you know, running, getting closer and closer." We took off running. And ever since that time, I know it's crazy. It is. And you know how kids' imagination, you know, and the night when the wind's blowing, the moon's at a half, you know, it's cloudy, but the moon's showing. It's a perfect night for Halloween.
It is.
But, and it's like that sets the mood for you when you're a kid.
Oh,
you know?
It does. It's amazing.
And, yeah, but you hear these hoofs coming, and I swear to God, I can remember today that you can keep hearing it, like, getting louder. And we know if the wind was picking up, getting louder and louder. And we got so scared, we just get off running back home. It's never thought, you know.
Hightail it out of there. Do you remember the main character in The Headless Horseman?
Yes.
What was his name?
Ichabod Crane.
That's it. You got it.
Yeah.
I should do a little trivia and give some books away. I haven't done that in a long, long time. Tom, you've got a text message. Where's it from?
It is from Washington, D.C. It's from Sam. He says, "Hey, do you guys think our enemies have the capability to control the weather?"
I think most nations have the ability to control the weather. Boy, that was on mic. You know that?
What's
got to clip them. Yes, we do have the ability to control the weather. China said during the Olympics that they could control the weather. And I think we do it through HAARP and everything else. So absolutely. Virginia in Jacksonville, Florida. Hi, Virginia.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Good morning. I just thought of something. I recently wrote my memoirs. I'm in my 80s. And it was about what it was like living in Hawaii, in pre-war Hawaii. My father was in charge of the instrument shop on Ford Island. And we had just moved into the Navy housing area in October. And that Halloween was my most memorable. We went trick-or-treating, and most of the inhabitants of the housing area were grown-ups, and they didn't have candy and things like that to give to us, so they gave us money.
Yep.
Well,
pennies.
Well, not just pennies, but quarters and things.
Wow, you got quarters?
Well, I was afraid. I had always been taught to not take money from strangers, and so before I got home, I split it up with all my friends so that it wouldn't look so bad, and when I got home, my mother asked, you know, to check the candy, you know, so she could get the best pieces. I told her what I'd done, and she, you know, looked kind of funny. But anyway, that was interesting. But it was well taught. I didn't give it to him. And then the end of the month, that 2 months later, we were bombed.
Oh, wow.
And one of our neighbors who had given me two quarters because I was so cute. He was killed because he stood out there with his hand on his hip watching the planes dogfighting in and out of the housing, and a bullet went right through his hand.
Oh, my gosh.
And killed him. And our house was machine gun, and so it was quite an experience. And my dad was back in uniform that day because they knew they were going to be attacked, and it was quite an experience. But that was my most memorable.
Oh, my gosh, of course.
Halloween. Of course. Money instead. Now I wish I hadn't, you know, you look back and you think about these things.
Well, get ready for your favorite Christmas story, because we'll do that when we get close to Christmas.
I've got a good one for that one.
Save it. Okay. Thanks, Virginia. Because you need to call in on that so I can say, yes, Virginia, there is a Santa. I got to be able to say that. Let's go to Sheila in Springfield, Massachusetts. Hello, Sheila. Welcome to the program.
Hello, George. Thank you for taking my call.
You are very welcome.
You asked the question, do we think we're living in end times? I think we are.
Me too.
I'm not going to set dates. That's always a silly thing to do. But I think we might be in the generation that's going to just see a major, major change in the world, in the universe, so to speak. I believe in what's called progressive revelation, which is the notion that God keeps revealing little bits to us more and more at a time. And we've had some stuff happen in the past 150 years that just indicates there's an escalation in, I would say, the supernatural, an escalation of evil, an escalation of demonic activity. And there's two things I want to point to out of a million things that I could tell you about. First of all, there's a prophecy that's been attributed to St. Patrick, and some people know it. No, it's not really a prophecy, it's just a prayer of his. But St. Patrick had a vision of the end of the world, a vision of the rise of the Antichrist. And he was so mortified by what he saw that he prayed that God would spare Ireland from this, and the best that he could pray for was that the only way Ireland could get spared would be Ireland would be plunged into the sea.
Oh, geez.
So that was St. Patrick's prayer, that you would plunge Ireland into the sea 7 years before the end comes.
What's happening? Sea levels rising out that way?
I think sea level rise is a good indicator of that. And also, Ireland happens to lie in a general geologic fault. Iceland, not far from Ireland. Iceland, of course, has active volcanoes right now. There's whether or not those geologic faults in that region could open up. That's a speculative possibility for trying to see if maybe St. Patrick's prophecy could be fulfilled. But his prayer was that the sinking of Ireland into the sea would happen in one inundation.
Almost like Atlantis, just poof, it's gone.
Yes, poof, it's gone.
Huh.
another one, this is more of a very classic prophecy that I would say most Christians know about. I'll just elaborate briefly. Back in the 1800s, we had a whole lot of interest in biblical prophecy, and there was, for the first time, graphical charting representations. There were really smart gentlemen back then who began drawing up graphic charts to delineate all the prophecies from the beginning of the Bible to the end. A famous one is by Charles Fitch from 1842. Then we had another one by Dr. Haldeman in the early 1900s.
Were they accurate?
It depends on your interpretation of the Bible. But they all agreed, when they were all making these charts and chit-chatting about it, and even people from different denominations with different views on this and that, they all said, there's one really difficult stumbling block in the whole timeline, and that is, it's obvious from this passage and that passage of the Bible, very obvious that there's no way we can have a major leap forward toward the end of the world unless the nation of Israel once again becomes a country. And that's not going to happen for maybe 1,000 more years. And then, boom, it happened in 1948. And that absolutely rocked the whole Christian world, like, oh, no. And all these charts were getting dusted off, saying, oh, my gosh, maybe this is going to happen a lot sooner than we thought. So I just wanted to throw that out there to you. And there's so many other things, like a prophecy in the book of Revelation concerning how when all the world is crumbling to pieces, people continued to not repent of this and not repent of that and not repent of their magical arts. I think that there's an insane escalation in the practice of magical arts.
Well, and that's what's happening now, too. People are not repenting, and things continue to get stranger and stranger. I think this situation with Israel and the Palestinians has got to stop. I mean, it has got to stop, or it is going to be out of control. I think we should carve a piece of Iraq and give it to the Palestinians and let them have their own homeland and fix it, build these people apartments and businesses and get them up and running again. Because when you have so many people who are unemployed, who have no hope, it's going to be out of control. And, I mean, Israel is in... Look, it's what you saw in Ferguson, Missouri. It's what you saw in Baltimore over the last couple of years. It's a full-scale riot there, except people are really dying, getting stabbed and everything else. It's out of control. Lorenzo's in Los Angeles. Hello, Lorenzo. Go ahead.
Hey, it's an honor again to talk to you, George.
Good.
Thank you. I wanted to point to maybe Exhibit A would be on the end times. You were asking to speak about the if you think we're in end times, and I think Exhibit A would be when Jesus said about like in the days of Noah, and when he'll return, and they're go hand in hand, his return and the end times. Basically, that was the catalyst for. Steve Quayle, Ellie Mazzulli, and of course Chuck Missler on things that are going on as far as like maybe abductions and stuff like that, alien abductions. They all kind of tie in where that, like the barrier between dimensions or realms, if you will, is kind of getting thinner and thinner. I mean, you could just look at the evil that's increasing. I mean, you go to a movie theater and someone's shooting people.
Crazy. People have gone crazy.
Yeah, I think that barrier is getting thin and evil is increasing. I'm not sure what evolution means because I sure don't see any evidence for it. If anything, it's called the second law of thermodynamics where things just get worse. We get older, things wear down. If you don't take care of them, they just get worse. So anyway, that's the Exhibit A. And there was one more and Daniel, Michael the Archangel gave him, told him, keep this prophecy a secret till the end when people were going to and fro and when knowledge increases. And I think the internet, I mean, if you want to talk about knowledge increasing, just Google it if you want to look something up, you know.
Well, the internet has done an incredible job giving people instant knowledge, information, self-help. you name it. It's an incredible tool. It really is. I mean, there is some downside to it, but it is an incredible, incredible tool. Let's go next to Indiana. Alley Cat is with us. Hello, Alley Cat. Are you going to meow for me? Perfect.
I can't believe I got through. I got a ghost story for you.
Okay.
Okay, I don't go searching for ghosts or go to spooky haunted places. I'm scared to death of them, right? But one night, me and my girlfriend went to a trailer that she used to live in, right? But she had to move out because weird stuff kept happening there. People were breaking in, whatever. One night, I said, well, let's go just sit, you know, down the street and just watch it and see if we can find these creeps that have been breaking in your house, right? Well, it'd been a year before that her husband had committed suicide, right?
Oh,
yeah.
Not good.
And she was the one who found him. He shot himself, right?
Makes it even worse.
Yeah, I know. The first time I was in that house, I, like, felt something weird before I even knew the story. But anyway, so we're sitting there in the car at night, watch our house, you know, and we got binoculars, you know, and we're just kind of watching the house, you know, being silly. And I'm like, kept feeling like something was going to come up behind us. It was really bugging me. It was like, just kept getting like an urgent feeling, you know, like, hey, something's going to sneak up on you, right? And so I'm looking behind me. I'm not seeing nothing, you know. And she's watching her house, seeing if we can see these creeps that kept, you know, breaking in and stuff. And then I look up in my rearview mirror, and there's a man sitting directly behind her in my backseat. And I can see him clear as day. You know, I can see his haircut. He was wearing glasses, you know, shirt he was wearing.
But it was a ghost.
Well.
Or was it a real person?
It was a ghost because I made myself turn around and look and no one was there.
I mean, what would be more scarier, a real person or a ghost? I think a real person.
I don't know. A real person would have had both of us whooping his tail. But this guy, I just took off. I told my parents, I said, we got to go now. And I got across town. I was flying. I was scared to death. Finally, when we stopped, I went, you know, I quit freaking out. I told her about the guy I saw, right? Now, I've never met her ex-husband or her, you know, deceased husband.
Was that him?
She said I described him to her.
Oh, my gosh. So he stayed around. He stayed around. We're going to come back. We're going to stay around. More open lines in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM.